Hey everybody, welcome to the Entrepreneur Experiment podcast with me, Gary Fox. The Entrepreneur Experiment distills the secrets and systems great founders use to build their business, their body, and their brain. Today, it's Idea Lab time. And last week, I spoke at the Wealth Conference here in Dublin, and I was asked to speak about the traits of an entrepreneur. So it's all very exciting. Usually, I'm just interviewing people or sitting on a panel to interview people. And it's great. I love it. I absolutely love interviewing people. But this was different. I actually had to speak myself. And it was so weird, like, the difference it was between doing it yourself and someone else, just like doing it with you, was wild. So I had to stand up there on my own 15 minutes and talk about the traits of an entrepreneur. So I talked about four traits, right? And instead of just standing up there, because it's like 200 people, you know, listening to four traits about an entrepreneur is pretty boring. You know, you stand up there like some third-rate fortune teller saying, oh, you know, the future is maybe good and maybe bad, and if you have these traits, you'll be fine. So I was like, no, I'm going to list the four traits that I've seen in the very best founders I know, the very best founders that I've interviewed, and then I'm going to give you the flip side of those traits, because what makes you great also can be your destruction. So founders have a great set of traits, but equally they have the dark side. Everyone has their dark passenger, right? Dexter was right. Everyone has their dark passenger, whatever that is. And at the end, I'm going to talk about probably the most important trait of all to have. Thanks to my partner, Square. Everything your business needs, like payments, point of sale, e-commerce, inventory management, chatting endlessly about the weather. Well, you're on your own there. Square. Everything your business needs, almost. Visit square.com. If you're a regular listener of the pod, which I hope you are, you'll know I've been hosting the podcast from my Connick offices for quite a while now, and things have gone really, really well. So well, in fact, that I'm now a member of Connick offices, working and recording from one of their spaces. This means I can vouch for the benefits it gives to any business. On that note, Connick offices have given me a number of exclusive complimentary day office trials for my audience. So try it out for yourself for the day. Bring your team. No catches. Simply go to the web link in the description and enter Gary23, so it's Gary23, to claim your complimentary office for a whole day. It's a pretty fantastic offer. Thank you, Connick offices. One of the most frequent questions I get asked on this podcast is, where do I find a mentor? And I've never fully had the answer, but now I do. Introducing Mentors Work, a fully funded mentoring program designed to help your business thrive, brought to you by the Small Firms Association in partnership with Skillnet Ireland. Imagine having a series of one-to-one individual mentoring sessions, along with upskilling workshops to network with your peers and learn from experts, as well as a bespoke business plan. And the best part, it's at no cost to you. Join over 2,000 Irish SMEs and see how the award-winning Mentors Work program can help your business to thrive. Places are limited though, so apply today at mentorswork.ie. Program is fully funded until the end of 2023, so get your application in. So first of all, I talked about curiosity. All the best founders I know are curious. They're just wondering why. Why are things that way? Why is it so slow? Why can we not get that here? Why does it have to be so expensive? Every great business starts with a why. And the best founder I've spoken to recently who had that why was Fergal Brady. He was the founder of No Friction, and he was the founder of Blueface. So Blueface sold Comcast a number of years ago for many, many millions. And that business started with a why. Why are phone calls so expensive? They started with that premise. Phone calls are really expensive. This was a good while ago now. And phone calls were really, really expensive. They were like, right, why are they so expensive? And how could we make them cheaper? So what they did was they used voice over IP, which is VoIP, and then they put the phone call through the internet, which was cheap. Sending data is cheap, but sending voice was expensive. So they just flipped it on its head, and curiosity led them to have a multi-million euro business and led to an exit. And they're saying, but back with No Friction now, why is banking so poor? And why is business banking so poor? Why does it take 2 to 3 business days for you to get a payment? Why does everything not join up? Why do you have to get an invoice and then log it up and then log the receipt and then tally it off? So that's what they're doing with no friction. They're starting again with a why, going, why is business banking so poor? And like, as an entrepreneur, if you can develop that curiosity, you should have it anyway, but if you can develop that curiosity, it is a superpower. And part of that is not having an ego, not being afraid to ask the stupid question. On the podcast, I get to ask stupid questions for a living. It's magic. And I no longer feel afraid of not appearing to be the smartest person in the room or not knowing what I feel I should know. I will just ask the stupid question, because it's always better to ask the question than to go, oh, yeah, of course. We've all done that. You know, do you know what that means? And you're like, yeah, of course. You say yeah because you don't want to, seem ridiculous in the moment. And then 10 minutes later, they're going deeper into the conversation and you are absolutely lost. So I'll always be curious and go, what does that mean? But the flip side of that, the bad side of the curiosity, is that founders get easily distracted by being curious. They're constantly searching new areas, new angles. I am guilty of this all the time. Shiny object syndrome. Oh, look at that idea over there. I better go look at that. I better go read 3 hours into this new trend that's coming out. This might be interesting. And you get distracted from the sole focus of what you're meant to be doing. So for me, I've broken this down now into the sole focus of the podcast is to hit 1 million downloads as quickly as we can. That is my sole focus for the next 6 months. Nothing is allowed to distract me from that. And then I'm distilling back what it is that I'm doing. I'm distilling back every single action that I'm doing. So the biggest thing for you to find is, what is the core single metric that's driving your business? Think about that right now for a second. What metric do you need to be working towards? What is the one metric that if you hit would change your entire business? Once you know that, you can work back from everything else. The second trait, they're all problem solvers. They're elite problem solvers, because that's why I've called it the entrepreneur experiment, because everything is about experiments. Every single piece of business is about experiments. Trying, testing, failing. It starts to work. You tweak it a bit more. You test again. And finally, it works. That is the core of what a business is. You don't need to overcomplicate it more than that. So the elite founders I interview are elite problem solvers. Best example of this, Owen Hinchey from Tynes. An incredible company and an incredible entrepreneur. He decided cybersecurity needed to be solved. He was working for a major US firm here in Dublin. He was head of cybersecurity. So you can imagine what the importance of that role was and the salary he's on, if we're going to be blunt about it. And to walk away from that, start your own company with no security, no future. But he was driven by solving that problem of, why is cybersecurity so poor and how can we make it better? That quest led him to 8 weeks later starting his own company. And within those 8 weeks, he was able to get his product to market and get it testing. So he just wanted to solve the problem. He wasn't obsessed about optics. He wasn't obsessed about how it would appear. He wasn't obsessed about money. He was obsessed with solving that problem. And as a result, he's raised, ironically, over $100 million and is building one of the best and biggest companies that will ever come out of Ireland. The bad thing about being a problem solver is that you become a micromanager. Not everybody, but you have a tendency to become a micromanager, because at the start, right, it's just you. You are the founder. And I know there's people listening where you're like, yeah, it's just me though, Gary. I have to micromanage everything because it's just me on my own. And hopefully they'll get to a point whereby it's not just you, and there's two people, and there's three people, and there's four people, and then it's 10 people. You cannot still be having the same traits and the same habits you did as a solo founder. What got you here won't get you there. That's what you need to remember. You need to remember that motto of, what got me to here will not get me to there. And you see this routinely with founders. They'll do a really good job. They're scrappy as hell. They're brilliant. But then they get to a million, and then they get five million, or they get 10 team members. And suddenly everything falls apart because they don't know how to let go anymore. They don't know how to empower people. And as a result, then they can't get good people and the company flounders. So beware of being a micromanager if you are a great problem solver. It eventually reaches a point whereby you have to empower other people. The third trait, they're comfortable in chaos. They are really, really comfortable in the chaos that brings every single entrepreneurial venture.
early stage startups, they have no problem being in a chaotic environment. But it will get to a point whereby it no longer can be chaos. First couple of years, sure, chaos is welcomed. That's all you have is the chaos. And by being able to be comfortable in that, your business will try run itself off a cliff 10 times a day, 10 times a week, 10 times a month in the first couple of years. So you have to be comfortable with that. If you didn't, you'd never do a startup. But the bad part of that is sometimes you can be a chaos causer. You can suddenly cause the chaos because you no longer are sure which way you're heading. The best example of someone who is comfortable in chaos I saw recently was Ivan Eustace from Tapitag. He'd built an incredible business selling hardware accessories. Then one Friday, he gets a call into the office, just into the main line of the office. Liam Casey, famous Irish entrepreneur, had called in just by chance into their office, said to them, can you be in China on Monday, guys? We have a potential deal for you. This was Friday. The lads were sitting up in Glasnevin in their office. Just looked at each other and went, yeah, I think we can. Went home, grabbed a suitcase, threw some clothes in a bag, are in China on Monday. That is being comfortable in chaos. You're not overthinking it. You're not having to do, you know, surveys and, oh, risk analyses. You're just getting it done. You're comfortable in the chaos. But beware, beyond a certain point in your business, you become the cause of that chaos. Because now you've hired people and you have processes and systems, and suddenly you're going in there causing all this bit of chaos because that's what you've known for the last couple of years. Again, it goes back to the micromanager piece. What got you here won't get you there. At a certain point, you have to be aware that, you know, chaos is not okay at every stage of a company. The fourth trait I talked about, you have the dog in you. The US and the UK, they say greater resilience. In Ireland, it's the dog. You have that dog in you. You have that thing that just will not quit. You are going to make this work no matter what. If you listen to all great interviews with all great sports stars, great business people, great performers, that grit and resilience, because no one makes it first time and no one makes it the third time or the fifth time or the tenth time. The truly outstanding performers, the true people you look up to now, they have had hundreds of failures. They just keep shooting. They just keep going for the shot. And that is something you really have to dig down on. You just got to bite down on the gum shield and keep walking forward to get another slap, because without being dogged, you'll never make it as a founder. You'll never make it as an entrepreneur, because either you'll play it too safe and you'll keep the opportunity too small. I've been guilty of this in the past. Something starts to work, and ironically then it makes you more risk averse because you're like, oh, this is starting to work now. I don't want to make a balls of it. So you become more risk averse. Ironically, instead of leaning in and going, right, we're going to capitalize this as an opportunity. That's a lesson I've had in the last couple of years when my previous business was going really well. I started to get more risk averse. Now it was bootstrapped and was entirely funded by myself. So that's why I became more risk averse, because I didn't want to ruin it all. But equally, there becomes a chance where you're at the top. You're at the top now. How do you capitalize on being at the top? Do you expand and diversify, or do you sell the business? Sometimes it's fine to do both. Sometimes it's okay to sell the business. Sometimes you need to diversify. And knowing when that is very, very important. The downside of being dogged is that it can lead you to destruction. You can't keep that dog on a leash, and he'll lead you to the gates of hell if you let him. Because you want more. You keep searching for more. I am fascinated, borderline obsessed with studying millionaires and billionaires who lose it all to get more. There's a great quote from Buffett, and it's, don't risk what you need for something you don't want. Or don't risk what you have and need for something you don't want or don't need. And it's basically, don't risk all your money or all your capital or all your opportunity by just chasing more, the more monster. What are you chasing? Best example of being dogged I've come across in the last couple of years was Connor Murphy. He started Datahug, built it into a considerable business, didn't get the exit he wanted because he felt it could have been a much, much bigger business. It was sold for $13 million, and he counts that as a failure. He counts that as a learning opportunity, and he is back with a new company called Bridge. And it's very rare that you can be certain that founders are going to do something special. But after speaking with Connor, he just has that dog in him. And he now has the playbook. He was able to sit down across the table from me and outline exactly all the reasons he knew that Dad Hug didn't get to where he wanted to go. And there was no ego there. There was no like, oh, well, it would have worked if this hadn't happened or if that guy hadn't done this to me. Zero. Zero blame, full self-accountability. Beautiful. That is what great founders have. Full self-accountability. Even if it's not fully their fault, they're able to trace it back and take ownership of it. That is what a true great founder does. So I would bet heavily on him. And finally, the four traits I've outlined. They're nothing without self-awareness. Self-awareness is key. If you've listened to those four traits and those four negative flip sides of those traits, and you haven't heard anything that rings a bell with you, you need to work on your self-awareness. Because all founders I've spoken to have some 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 of those traits all wrapped up in one complex bundle. If you're not ringing a bell with any of those, you need to work on your self-awareness. The truly great founders, so I speak to a lot of great founders, the truly great ones have self-awareness. They know where they're weak. They know where they're strong. And they're okay with saying that. They're not hiding it away. They're leaning into it and going, yeah, super weak on this. So I've hired that person to do that. Yep, I'm super strong here. I'm going to spend 80% of my time working on this because I am the best in the world at doing this. There are 20%. That doesn't matter. I'm going to get someone to do it or I'm even going to ignore it for right now. I'm not even going to bother with it for right now. They're self-aware enough to know what makes them great and they're self-aware enough to know what can kill their business. That is the Idea Lab for today. You've just got a free sneak peek as to what I talked about last Thursday at the Wealth Summit. There's a new Wealth Summit coming up in November. I will talk about that more at a later date because we've got an exciting potential partnership coming up there. In the meantime, I hope you enjoyed this Idea Lab. Go to MrGaryFox.com, join our free newsletter. I talk about these ideas every single week and any new opportunities or new challenges or new potential partnerships that I am announcing, you will learn about it there first. I will see you back here in a few days.